So by tomorrow, we'll probably know who won the Iowa caucuses as the state's Democratic Party declares a winner in the contest for convention delegates. But if the past is really any guide, it may be actually impossible to say which candidate does get the most support. Confused? Well, so were we, until Day-to-Day's Madeline Brand spoke with Slate political editor Will Salatin.
Will, you write that the last time Iowa was this competitive was way back in 1988, when there was no favorite son or incumbent to walk away with the majority of the delegates. Why does the closeness of the race this time around have you worried?
Because there are two different counts that are going to come out of Iowa tonight. One is the official result that the state Democratic Party is going to put out. That's a count of delegates. That is a highly processed number. It's not necessarily the same as the percentage of people who stood up when the caucuses began and said they were for Dick Gephardt or Howard Dean or whoever. And because of those intervening factors, nobody is actually reporting the original count. And we are never going to know for sure which candidate got the most votes at the beginning of the process, the way you would vote in any other primary.
Well, maybe you could explain how this process works, because I understand it's a very complicated and arcane process.
Yeah, the first thing to understand about these caucuses is when they tell you to go stand in your corner for your candidate, the caucus chair then goes around and counts everybody, and if your group does not meet what they call the viability threshold, which can be 15% or up, you have to disband and go somewhere else. They say, look, there aren't enough of you Clark people here. You're going to have to pick your second choice. So suddenly Clark, who may have had 10% of the vote at that caucus, gets zero, and a bunch of other candidates who are really not the first choice of the people who disband are going to pick up those votes. And then, of course, the party chair is going to allot delegates to each group, and the allotment of delegates basically grossly rounds the number. So if I have, 32 people in my group, and there's 31 to the group next to us, and there's 30 in the next group, but there's only two extra delegates to go around, the third group basically gets stiffed. They get one less delegate than the other two groups. The final results don't show that it was as close as it really was in that precinct.
And you also write about something that seems really odd, and that is the process whereby the number of delegates selected by each precinct doesn't necessarily depend on how many people show up tonight, but on how many people voted in that precinct in the last election.
Yeah, that's right. You get punished for the performance of your precinct in the last election when you may not have even been in that precinct. You know, let's say in your precinct, Dick Gephardt comes out ahead. In the precinct down the road, Howard Dean comes out ahead. In your precinct, there was low turnout in the last election. In the precinct down the road, there was high turnout. Well, Dick Gephardt is going to get the short end of the stick here, because although he may have more people in this precinct voting for him than Howard Dean has in the other precinct is going to get more delegates to allot. So a smaller group in that other caucus can end up counting for more delegates than a larger group in this caucus.
So what could happen would be not unlike what happened in 2000, whereby one candidate wins the popular vote and the other candidate actually wins.
Right, except in 2000, we had something that we could go look at. There were ballots. There was an objective standard against which to measure, these questions of who won. We're not going to have that in Iowa. There's literally going to be no record of who stood up and voted originally for each of these candidates.
So all this would seem to argue for a switch to a clearer, more direct, democratic primary system. Do you think it does, or are there benefits with sticking to the caucus system?
Yeah, Howard Dean just got in trouble for that recently, for saying that the Iowa caucus was a bad system because, people would have to hang out for hours and do a lot of party building activities in order to cast their vote, and working people can't do that. And I think that was a fair criticism. But the real problem, in my opinion, in Iowa is that it's not a primary, but it's interpreted as a primary because of these, intervening factors. The reason to move Iowa out of its position is not because it's Iowa, but because it's a caucus. A primary should go first because a primary is more representative of the party as a whole. A primary doesn't weed out people who can't hang around for 3 or 4 hours and do all the party building activities. A primary translates your vote directly into the final count. So either Iowa should get a primary or it should get out of the way.
Wow, them's fighting words. Opinion and analysis from Will Salatin, who writes the Ballot Box column for Slate. Thanks, Will.
Thanks, Madeline.
And that interview by Day-to-Day's Madeline Brandt.